ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, if you only knew what we're doing in studio right now. It's terrible. Don't say it, gentlemen. Nope.
I'm not gonna say it because I'm not shaming myself.
Exactly. Sports Hangover, hour number two. Steve Worthy, Four Kids Foundation. I'm gonna chat with us here in a little bit. The dates for next year's Zurich Classic are out, as the PGA has put that out. Any differences? We'll chat with him a little bit about that and how well the tournament went this past season. Hard to believe. What is it? Almost 3 months ago, Jordan. Back in April. May, June, and not yet to the 20s in July, but it is July 10th. It is hour number two and hour number one. We just spoke with Kenny Farrell, head coach of the Jesters. Get out there and go support them over in the playoff game tonight, taking on the Georgia Revolution. And then they'd have to play Atlanta on Thursday. They'd have to play back-to-back Georgia teams. Isn't that awful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. No one wants that. Coming up next segment, John Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles. He'll help us talk a little bit about some of the same topics we've been touching on. Training camp schedule, I'll get to that here in a quick second after our conversation with Steve Worthy. And then also we'll touch on more about that, you know, the bizarre story right now with LeSean McCoy. And also the NFLPA filing a challenge to the NFL's national anthem policy, saying they didn't consult them. So if you want to avoid litigation, let's sit down and chat about it. Kind of interesting that you wouldn't have chatted about it to begin with, right? Kind of odd. Anyway, let's quickly talk a little golf with Steve Worthy, who joins us from the Four Kids Foundations and, of course, helps put on the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. What's going on, Steve? How are you this afternoon? Hello, Steve. Hello, Steve. Kind of heard him in the background. Joey, let's see if we can get a little better connection between us here in a quick second. The changes never really came to the classic itself, but it's kind of to the tournaments around it. And it's important because, obviously, when you're trying to get the players to line up and commit to coming, maybe that might have a little something to do with it, as they can sort of help here as well. This past year's field, one of the strongest, right? If not, some people said the strongest the Zurich Classic has had here. They love the team play. That's been a big topic and a big reason why perhaps they've had some success to it as well. Steve, see, we got you on this time. Steve, how are you?
Hey, Gus, how are you?
Good, man. So the new dates were announced by the PGA Tour today. Any changes to last year's date, or do they remain the same?
We'll stay the same. We'll end up being the first week of Jazz Fest, last week of April. You know, we've carved out a pretty solid spot there, you know, with a change to the team format. The guys have gotten very comfortable with where we are. We've had two great fields in a row, getting great feedback about next year. You know, based on the guys I'm talking to, it should be as good or better next year. So, you know, we like where we are.
One of the things, Steve, that we touched on the last time we talked, when the tournament was about to start that week, and you just mentioned it a little bit just now about how strong that field was at the end of it, you know, when Sunday wrapped up and you got a chance to look back on it. Were you happy with what you got in a lot of the players and a lot of the teams in the competition level?
We were. You know, I mean, going into the week, I mean, 10 of the top 14 in the world rankings, you know, that's a huge deal. I mean, our field is competitive with anybody out there, but right, better than most. So we're really happy with where we are. You know, the guys just continue to seem to embrace doing something different, you know, getting to play with a partner, getting to pick their own partner, you know, getting to play with a friend. I mean, some of the teams make a lot of sense. Some of the teams, it's like, okay, well, what's the connection there? But guys really love the fact that they're able to pick their own partner and do something different. So, you know, just went to a tournament and talked to 60-something players. and they just continue to rave. They love the city. They love the format of the tournament. They love how we treat them. You know, it sounds like it's just going to continue to get better.
Tournament director for the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, Steve Worthy, joining us here to talk about it. The dates released, so we now know, obviously, when they play now. Some of the tournaments did move and change, and how does that affect you in trying to get some players?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a huge difference. If anything, it's probably a slight net positive. You know, the biggest change is really the Players' Championship, which has been 2 weeks after us, moves into March. And the PGA Championship, another major that's been in August, will move three weeks after us. So, you know, that we'll continue to be in that stretch between Augusta and the Players, or and now the PGA Championship. You know, I just having that extra week, I don't think it's going to affect us much at all. If anything, you know, you've got a lot of guys who insist on taking a week off before a major, so they may end up with the PGA Championship now. But, you know, top to bottom, if anything, it's neutral or probably, you know, a little positive for us.
How big a move is the PGA Championship moving to May? Why do you think that happened?
Well, you know, they've always been the fourth major in terms of the schedule.
Right.
You know, moving up, I think maybe they hope that they'll get some pop from being earlier in the year, being the second major coming after the Masters. You know, it'll be interesting. I mean, they've had some very good venues that are in the north. And when you play in May, early May, mid-May, you know, there's been some speculation about how the weather could affect them and affect some of the places that they've typically played. But, you know, all events are great. I mean, the Players is a big deal, and it's been 2 weeks after us. Now having the PGA 3 weeks after us, you know, I don't know that it's going to have a huge impact. It'll be interesting to see what it does for the PGA Championship as a, you know, the attention they get.
Yeah, no doubt. Steve, obviously, when you take a look at those majors and obviously, you know, team competitions, Ryder Cups, things of that nature, I just always felt like with the Zurich Classic, you've seen so many different things. You've seen people that have won majors. You've seen, I thought this year, maybe some group pairings to kind of maybe prep for team competitions. And also you saw in the past with the Zurich Classic before team play, first-time winners, and you've seen those guys kind of go on to win some more tournaments. Zurich Classic's always just really been kind of a gumbo pot, really, of the talent level of golf, right? You've seen guys that are about to break out. You've seen guys that have won majors.
That's true. I mean, we've you know, I've been here for 7 years now, and we've had a variety. I mean, we've had you know, Justin Rose, who's obviously a top-10 player and has won a major, U.S. Open, that sort of thing. But then we've had guys like Billy Horschel, who went on to win the FedEx Cup. We had Jason Duffner, who went on to win the PGA Championship. You know, we've had a number of guys like that who have gone on to big things. I mean, Billy now having won our tournament twice in 5 years, you know, he continues to be a bigger name and loves the city and loves to support the tournament and talk about our tournament positively, you know, around the tour, which is a good thing. So, you know, we've had a mix. I mean, I think, you know, it's the team format has brought about some changes. I mean, you know, sometimes you get two big stars playing together and you think, oh, well, they're the team to beat. And that hasn't necessarily always been the case.
Right.
But to the point that you made, you know, every year with either a Ryder Cup this year, President's Cup next year, us continuing to recruit and try to help pair guys together that are potential partners in those big international events, and we're the perfect place to work on the chemistry and get a chance to play together and get ready for those big events later in the year. So I think you'll probably continue to see some of those bigger names as we go forward, just because we've got more major champions and top 10 guys.
Final question for you. I love some of the new additions this year, including the walk-up music. It really seemed like the Players really dug that over the weekend. Do you see that coming back next year for sure? And then can you think of anything that maybe, or any requests that Players have asked since you kind of went that way, that maybe you don't see in other golf tournaments? Have you gotten any requests that have been interesting?
Well, you know, we've been talking about things. We want to be, you know, because we're different in terms of the format and because
right.
of our city, we want to be fun. We want to incorporate the things that, you know, make us who we are. So we'll definitely come back with the walk-up music next year. You know, it was well-received. I think now that guys have gotten used to it, you'll probably see more guys getting into it, giving more thought to the song selections. So I think that'll continue to be fun. Well, we would like to add a little something every year if possible to make sure that we're, you know, keeping it fun, keeping it light, but also we're playing for an awful lot of money and that it's that it's a serious tournament. So I'm hopeful as we get closer, we'll be able to talk about, you know, some new addition that will continue to get some attention and make it fun for the guys.
I thought on social media it was just great, just seeing it on Twitter. I mean, you had golfers making sure that someone was capturing it so they could then tweet it, and it was either something to kind of poke fun at another golfer or something, you know, where they went to school or a song that meant something. I just dug it because you saw some people really took it seriously, you know?
Well, the social media reaction was off the charts. And
right.
Zurich, you know, Zurich's always looking. They're writing a big check to be the sponsor, and they're always looking for attention and name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And they were thrilled, just like we were, with the amount of attention on social media, the number of players. And, you know, some of those guys have a million-plus followers. And, you know, to be top of mind for as long as we were because of it, to have guys speculating on the right songs, to choose to make fun of other guys for the
right.
songs that they chose. You know, just anything that keeps us top of mind is always a good thing.
No doubt. Steve Worthy, Tournament Director of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Appreciate your time this afternoon, and we will see you next year, April 22nd through the 28th of 2019.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Appreciate your time. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, little Santos. Ooh, Jordan the intern. I saw him jump. France had a shot at goal, and the Belgian keeper getting up there, closing that distance, and diving on the ball there. Your coach Farrell, he thinks, I'm with him. Look, I think England wins tomorrow against Croatia. But England, France for the World Cup, about that?
I like it.
Hmm?
Let's go France.
Yeah. So now you're French, huh?
Oh, yeah.
See, I was going with France just because it's the 300th anniversary of Louisiana, you know, and all that.
So?
Really? It was only the biggest land. You know what? I'm not.
It was the biggest land before.
That's what you got. 300 years of, I don't know, a land purchase that created most
the
of the country.
Louisiana purchase.
Created us. So, that's what I got from you.
I never said.
That's what you just did.
No.
So? Like it was
what does
no
that have to
deal.
Do with soccer?
You know what? I got nothing for you.
Exactly.
John Hendricks, when we come back from Canal Street Chronicles, you're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
And I won't back down.
France and Belgium scoreless as they now hit the 17th minute of the first half. 0-0. Your New Orleans Saints, a pair of representatives. Actually, Marcus Williams is out there too, but Marshawn Lattimore and Alvin Kamara speaking with the media. Marshawn Lattimore.
You know, we won Rookie of the Year. We trying to win like Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, we're gonna see.
That's right. Those are the goals for Marshawn Lattimore and Alvin Kamara. Per Marshawn Lattimore, what? Jordan, the intern.
We got some special news today.
Special news. What is that?
Guess whose birthday it is today?
Joey's?
No.
Not mine.
Saints All-Pro defensive end,
mm-hmm.
Cameron Jordan.
Oh, how about that?
Happy birthday, bud.
There it is.
You got
happy birthday
music.
Nah.
This is the best you could do.
Well, I wasn't ready for you. I didn't know this was coming. You know, during the break, you can be like, hey, let's wish Cam Jordan a happy birthday. And I could have, you know, prepared a lot better than that. I'm sorry. I didn't realize the Stevie Wonder version of Happy Birthday would take 45 seconds to actually get to the song.
Well, I guess we're going to have to talk about this for 45 more seconds or 20 more seconds.
John Hendricks from Canal Street Chronicles.
Happy birthday, baby.
The Stevie Wonder version would have been better. John Hendricks has no idea what he just walked into from Canal Street Chronicles. What's going on, John?
Hey, not too much. That was interesting.
Yep. John J. Hendricks, the way to follow on Twitter. How are you wishing Cam Jordan a happy birthday today?
You know, just promote a little bit on social media. I'm sure he's got his hands busy with the new addition to the family and
yep.
such. But, you know, that's
I saw
that's,
him playing Mario funny. Kart. Can't you? He superimposed himself on a Mario Kart. Like, I love his personality. And one of the things, John, we'll kind of start with him and then kind of transition to Lattimore and Kamara here. But I think one of the things that I've enjoyed watching here, and I'm going to say over the last 12 months, is really a transition, if not a broadening of the face of the Saints. Would you agree with me? It was just Drew, right? I mean, it was Breeze and his cast of players or friends that helped them, right? But, dude, Cam Jordan in his own right is pretty big up there. And whether it's Lattimore, it's Kamara, it's Michael Thomas, you can throw in maybe Marcus Williams, Ryan Ramczyk, some of the other young players on there. The Saints have a handful, if not a half dozen, of faces now that you can be comfortable in that are going to be good in this league.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Cam Jordan has kind of distanced himself. And, you know, we've seen it year after year that Jordan's getting better at this and better at that and becoming more of a complete defensive end. I think he's obviously still underrated by a lot of standards. And, you know, whether you talk to him in the locker room, you just see a lot of different, you know, mannerisms from him. He's really eclectic as far as things that he does. He's a big superhero nut and things like that. But look, I think the Saints team, if you were to put them on other rosters, I think they would do just as good, you know, if not better than what they're doing currently in their roles right now. And Jordan's a prime example. So is Drew Brees. But, you know, they have a good nucleus of players that are both young and more seasoned that really spell all the difference and were a huge success and the reason why they turned this thing around last season.
No doubt, and I think one of the things that's interesting, too, is you know, we're talking about when it comes to the Pelicans, the leadership void left by Rondo, yet we thought, and I think that Mark, that Anthony Davis can take that next step up. We know it's Drew's team, but we have seen the last 2-3 years, Cam Jordan, especially last year, just referencing, hey, these are my guys when it comes to the defensive line. A.J. Klein and others coming in and taking over sort of that defense too. You've heard Sean Payton this year say, look, a guy like a Kurt Coleman's come in. You have, again, a handful or so of leaders now on this football team and really almost one in every position group rather than maybe just saying one guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, they lost Zach Streif, who's huge in the locker room, did a lot of things for the Saints, and I'm sure he'll still continue to do a lot of things for them. But, you know, look, I think when you look at the offseason moves, when you go back just a few years ago when the Saints had such a disarray in the locker room, and I'm talking about guys like Junior Gallette, Brandon Browner, just the wrong makeup for this team that just really didn't gel well, didn't mesh well. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, they spent obviously a few years in the rebuilding process when they were going those 3-7-9 seasons just trying to get the people and the players that are going to want to lead some of these younger guys. And that's kind of where they felt like they needed to shift. And, you know, Kurt Coleman's a great example. I think Ben Watson coming back to the tight end group is obviously a huge one as well. Max Unger on the offensive line. You got Ingram there mostly for your running back. And Drew Brees, obviously, defensive side of the ball. You bring in a guy like DeMario Davis to kind of help build upon what you got. And, you know, I feel like when you look at this team and you look at it, it's a lot of leaders. It's a lot of guys who know what it takes to win. It knows what kind of work ethic they need to have. And really, it just comes down to they're ready to be about business. And that's what we're getting to really short.
Speaking of John Hendricks of Canal Street Chronicles, at John J. Hendricks, the way to follow him over on Twitter. You know, John, it is what it is. I got to touch on it briefly because it's clearly, to me, a farce of a list. I don't know how else to really get into it other than ESPN put out the list of most talented rosters. They have the Philadelphia Eagles number one, Atlanta number two. Am I just unable to see that because of the bias I clearly have and hatred for the Atlanta Falcons? But would you say the Atlanta Falcons have the second most talented roster in all of the NFL?
No, I don't think so. Obviously, I think they're a very talented group. They've gotten better defensively. I think they've got a lot of great pieces to them. But, you know, look, when I look at them, is this the second most talented team in the NFL? I don't know, especially when you look at, on paper, a team like the Rams who brought in a whole bunch of people to their roster. And the Eagles, yeah, I guess you could say they've had a couple of losses and from personnel and players and such. New England obviously comes to mind, but I'm not buying that for the Falcons. I mean, they got, like I said, a lot of talent. Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Deion Jones, Keanu Neal. But this is a team that things could still go really south really quickly for them if they're not careful.
I'm sorry. I'm still having trouble. The rage just boils in me. But because here's the thing. It just makes week three and Thanksgiving just a lot more important. Do you think it boils down to Atlanta and New Orleans for the NFC South?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, look, the Bucks, obviously, I think they were pretty promising yet again. But with that suspension of Jameis Winston, and now you just kind of have a little bit of question marks there. I think they're obviously going to still kind of flirt with that line of mediocrity. I think the Panthers will be better. But, you know, it always comes down to Cam Newton and what Cam Newton you're going to get on Sunday, right?
Right.
So I still think this division comes down to the Falcons, the Saints. You know, I think people looking at the schedule for the Saints, that back half of the schedule is kind of brutal for them, especially down the stretch where if they're needing to kind of get NFC South title under their belt, they're going to have to steal some games, I guess, because you got to go on the road to the Panthers. You play the Pittsburgh Steelers in a random late, you know, contest. So, look, I still think Atlanta and New Orleans, they're two best teams in this NFC South division. Panthers are kind of reeling, and, you know, and this is a team who still made the playoffs, but they've just kind of been on the fence and lost a little bit, and they didn't really seem to improve too much.
Yeah, no doubt. Starting early, A.K., is it hard for you to believe? I've asked this to a lot of people already the last couple of months, and I think even you and I touched on it during camp or OTAs. I have a hard time believing, man, that Kenny Vaccaro, who's, by the way, still unsigned, his rookie season was the last time the Saints won a regular season opener. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, when you go back through it, it's just, you know, and I think everybody remembers the play that he made against the Falcons and such. But, you know, look, I was pleasantly surprised to see him overcome that dreaded 0-2 start because obviously history and the numbers and stuff like that dictates that you're not supposed to do what the Saints did, but they rattle off 8 straight wins and put this thing together. But, you know, look, I still think no matter what, you're still it's a division opponent you're opening the season with. You got the Browns, who are much better. You know, you think you're thinking this in the back of your mind that, hey, they got new rookies, they got Jarvis Landry, they got upgraded wide receiver talent, Josh Gordon hopefully found his groove. I mean, you see all these different things, so you don't think it's a gimme game by any means, but having back-to-back home games to open the season is really nice. But, you know, again, you just can't sleep on your opponents, even if you're saying, yep, they're definitely going to start out 2-0, 4-0, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, no doubts, obviously, but they have to be wins. I mean, you got to start at least, I think, 4-1 would really be nice going into the bye, obviously, with that schedule the way it is. And those first four games, 2 on the road, 2 at home. Browns, as you mentioned, with the Bucks at home. And you're at Atlanta and New York. A lot of people feel that Giants game could be the sneaky one. You know you're going to be up and ready to go against the Falcons there. But Atlanta starts out against the Eagles and then host the Panthers before facing the Saints. I'd love to see them 0-2, but you could see a 1-1 team.
Absolutely. No, I agree 100%. It'd be something if they, you know, somehow start out 0-3 to start the season. That would be really interesting to see how they rally and such. And hey, look, I think their coaching with Dan Quinn and stuff is really, I guess, underrated in a sense, but I think they're a well-coached team. But look, you know, suddenly you take it a week at a time in the NFL, mainly a day at a time, just depending on what's going on. But look, I would be really interested to see if the Saints were able to send the Falcons to like a winless record or something. It would just be probably any Saints fan's dream come true, I guess, if you will. And the Giants, obviously, a game that you can't sleep on either. I think that Giants team is, you know, probably what Eli's last run, and I think they're going to try to do as best as they can.
Yeah, no doubt. John J. Hendricks, the way to follow John Hendricks over on Twitter. We'll wrap up with obviously the most important thing that goes on right now around this time. You know, I'm talking about like the early part of July before camp. Madden ratings. Yes, players get upset by them. They mean absolutely nothing on the real football field, but we will talk about them. Why do you think the Madden ratings for the Saints offensive line is, as you called it, trash?
Yeah, you know, Larry Warford's a Pro Bowl player. 77 rating, Andres Pete 72. I don't know if they're saying, hey, let's split the difference between you being a left tackle, left guard. And, I mean, Ryan Ramczyk, I think that was pretty fair. But, you know, you're talking about offensive line who had two of the league's best running backs last year, especially with Alvin Kamara winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. Didn't happen by mistake, but, you know, look, some of these ratings, Michael Thomas, I think, was 7th highest wide receiver rating on Madden, but every time he's come out, man, he's a really questionable, let's put him that way, suspect.
Yeah, like I said, it's very interesting when you look at it from that perspective. And players do get upset by those ratings here and there. But, you know, again, you know, not all of us can be the Atlanta Falcons, John. Apparently, they're the most talented team other than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Paper champion. Yeah,
exactly. Paper champions. John, thanks for a little bit of your time this afternoon, man. Enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll see you at training camp.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Gus.
There he goes. I can't get over it. I'm sorry. This thing just feels like it corrupts my laptop when I play it, by the way.
I like it.
You like it?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's catchy.
What are you doing? If you can look over to my right now, Joey Jordan is, I mean, you're like bopping here. I mean, you're digging this song. Stop it. Don't listen to the rhythm. Don't let it fill your blood. Nope. Nope. Stop it. Now he's going side to side. Quit it. That's it.
Put your hands on the side. Oh,
no,
sorry.
Stop it. No, Joey, not you too.
I don't know. He draws me in.
See, here's the thing. If I'm going to make the statement, they're not the second most talented team in the NFL, then I have to say then who I think is. Right? Don't you agree? Then I mean, if I'm going to say it's not the Falcons, then who is? I think the Saints are top five. Don't you?
Top three.
You're going top three.
Yeah.
Carolina Panthers.
No, the Panthers are definitely not top five.
We growl to win this game.
There
we call pro football.
Wow. You know, maybe we need to look for new additions this year for the new season. New fan songs. Those are fan songs I came up with or I found on YouTube, 3 years ago. Jordan, that's a new task. You need to find. No, I haven't. Yeah, you need to. You need to find a Buccaneer one. No, stop.
You ever heard of the Panda song?
The Panda song.
Panda.
Sing it for
instead
me.
Instead of Tampa. Ooh, I think I just found something.
What?
For people that know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
No one knows.
I think
what you're
I found
about.
Something.
Yep.
No, there's people that know what I'm talking about.
Yep. No one knows what
the
you're
Panda
talking
song.
About.
The Panda.
The rap song.
Yeah.
The rap Panda. You know what I'm talking about, Joey? Huh?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
I was waiting for you to
this,
do
this
it.
This is the Bucks one. Fire, the cannons, fire, see, this is hard to beat for Tampa Bay. Fire, cannons, fire, this is classic. Yep. I mean, it's going to be hard to beat.
But
a
the
rapping panda? What do you
But the thing says, I got broads
no,
in Atlanta.
See, no. See, what? No. It needs to be a fan song, something a fan wrote.
Yeah, but it's
no,
transitioned
into
Tampa.
It's a fan song about their team. It's got to be bad. That's the criteria. It's got to be a fan written or sung or rapped or whatever the Carolina guy did. Those people have to do it. Still think the best phrase ever from Brian Enola East back in the day when he was on top of the Jolly Roger there, steering it right behind the mast. Shiver me Timberlands.
Wow.
That's a good one. Don't wow. You come up with something.
I just did.
Wow?
No.
What?
I said the Panda song, but Tampa.
Yeah, thanks for your effort today.
Didn't the Neville Brothers do that song?
No.
About, hey, Tampa Bay. No, that's Pacaway. Never mind.
What?
I thought it was, hey, Tampa Bay.
This could be,
Gangs à la France.
This could be Tampa's this year.
See? You know what that means?
Oh, no! We suck again!
That could be the Buccaneer one this year. I don't know.
You know what Gangs
are? Or this could also be a Tampa Bay when they decide to cut Jameis Winston.
I'm finished with this guy.
I mean, you never know. I'm sorry. I can't. Second most talented. Let's take a break. Let's take a break.
Hey,
whoa.
Tampa Bay, the
oh, here
Bucks
we go.
Know how to shine.
Oh, my.
Hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Ooh.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine.
Okay, this is on the list.
Tampa Bay,
oh, no, there's more people singing this now.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Even guys from Atlanta here.
I had no idea this was actually a real thing.
Hey, Tampa Bay.
This is good. cut that.
Please stand up.
Whoa.
Oh, here we go. Breaking it down, huh? Oh.
Is this like a whole fan base?
It's all I have. 12,000 of them, yeah. Oh, here we go.
Oh, no, this you know might what? Be my new favorite.
Yeah. No, stop it. You think this is better than Fire the Cannons?
Yes.
Nah.
The Falcons They Fly down. Is the best one, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of like this one.
That's horrible.
Really?
You complain about Drake all the time being, oh,
this is very Drake-ish.
Sounds auto-tune.
This is very Drake-ish. No. Yes, this sounds like 15
Brian
of the songs.
Said, dude, send me that Tampa Bay song.
Oh, come on.
Exactly.
It's called Hey, Hey, Tampa Bay, Seize the Day, and right at the end you put Jameis Winston in handcuffs.
Oh, Seize the Day.
Hey, Hey, Tampa Bay.
Okay, that's it. We're
that's
going
all
to break.
You got to type in. Hey, Hey, Tampa Bay.
When we come back, who is the second best team talent-wise? Roster-wise.
I'm going to have to go with Tampa
if I'm
Bay
gonna
now.
Stop it. No, it's not Tampa Bay. But if I'm going to say it's not the Falcons, then who is? The first thing that popped in my head was probably either Pittsburgh, Rams.
The Jags.
A lot of people. Wow. Dude, Pete Prisco says that Jags are winning the Super Bowl this year and have the most talent this year. Jacksonville's got some good talent.
They didn't blow it last year. They're in the Super Bowl.
Here's the thing, though. You can't say, well, they don't have the quarterback. To me, the quarterback's the most important position. So that keeps me from putting them at two. But definitely three. I mean, it's crazy when you think about Jacksonville. I'm telling you, people nationally feel that this team could make a push.
Blake Bortles showed some promise in that playoffs.
You look like Blake Bortles. Sports Takeover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. France and Belgium have just been going. It's like a tennis match. Shots on goal. Tremendous saves by both keepers. And just another save there by the Belgium keeper. Still nil-nil. That went off the right shin of the Belgian keepers. France had a sweet shot coming in from the right angle. I'm telling you, man, this is good. So the San Diego Chargers, that was their song. What is this? It's the French national anthem. Not just yet. It's not a goal. It's not a goal just yet. Don't jinx them as they have possession in there. I'm loving this. Game one of the first of two semifinal matches tomorrow is England and Croatia. It will be at 1 o'clock as well as this one is. It started at 1 o'clock. You know the phrase clickbait, don't you, Jordan?
Yes.
This is clickbait. So the tilt, NOLA.com posted this off of the tilt. I should have just gone to the bottom. The tilt is focused on debates and conversations around news, current events, and pop culture. I should have known better. The headline, Kobe Bryant, will he unretire to play with LeBron James? It's just a hypothetical. And then there's a link right there at the very end where it says, Kobe Bryant says he'll never return to the NBA in any capacity. June 13th, 2018. Because I guess people, yes, are wondering if he will come back to the league. Or do anything. I clicked it. Oh, they got me, Jordan. Would you want to see Kobe Bryant? Now stop it. See, I'm not doing it.
That's what they want.
I'm not doing it. It is what they want.
You're saying it on air.
It's exactly what they want.
But you're still
what?
On the topic.
No, I'm just saying. Well, I mean, kind of stop. Nope, not doing it. Although I will say the last time those two met in L.A., dude, have you seen that YouTube video with just the highlights of Kobe and LeBron going back and forth at one another?
I thought it was an All-Star game the last time.
No. It was a Cavs-Lakers game. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, didn't the Cavs, like, blow him out?
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. No.
Look it up.
No, they didn't blow him up.
Intern, look it up.
No, you look it up. I'm trying to do a show. Alvin Gentry spoke yesterday after the Summer League loss, 105-97. And he went through a handful of topics. We played some of the bites already on what he thought about, obviously, losing Rajon Rondo, losing DeMarcus Cousins. And Rondo is a loss. There's no doubt about it. had this to say.
Well, I mean, obviously, Rondo meant a lot to our team. From a leadership standpoint, you know, he did a lot with the guys. And as far as team building and team bonding, you know, he was really a integral part of all that stuff that took place. But you know, he chose to go somewhere else, and we wish him nothing but the best. And he was great when he was here and did a great job for us.
So Elfrid Payton and Julius Randle replaced the losses of DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo. Coach Gentry was asked, are you happy so far with the offseason moves? Obviously, they re-signed Ian Clark. All three moves officially announced yesterday by the team.
I like what we've done, you know. And it's so hard to say anything until you get out on the court and play. You know, I think it's easy to, you know, to talk and say certain things, but it doesn't really matter until you actually get out on the court and play.
Exactly. You don't really know what you're going to have, although you can kind of start assuming in certain areas what kind of players Rondo and Pate will be. I'll say this. I think when you take a look and focus on the last few games of the season last year that Payton played over in Phoenix, a little open style offense, 16 points, right, in that. What are you shaking your head for? That's not a blowout. 115-101. It's not a blowout.
That's 14 points.
It's not a blowout. Go to the final. What's the final score? 120-108. It's not a blowout. How many points did Kobe have there?
Let me look it up, guys.
Go to the end. I'm sure they'll superimpose it right there. Yeah, I think he had like 40 something.
You think?
Yeah. I think it was like 40 something. Seriously.
I'll look it up.
He went nuts. So I think one of the things that you look at with Elfrid Payton is this style of offense. How is it going to help him, and what kind of guy it can sort of get? Scott Kushner, we tried to get him on 2 days ago during right before the game, and had trouble getting communication with him based off of how busy it was going on over there right before the game. And then we were supposed to have him today, Jordan, but his flight got canceled yesterday. He's on the same flight, apparently, with Will Guillory of the TimesPicayuneNola.com. And the woman behind him threw up. Ooh. Yeah. Right behind him. The flight got canceled after sitting on the it's been an adventure. So he's flying right now. We'll have him tomorrow. But one of the things that Scott tweeted 2 days ago was the fact that you see Payton sitting with Darren Erman, the defensive coordinator for the Pelicans, in the stands. And obviously we all know who Darren Erman is. He is the what on the team?
David Erman?
Yeah. Darren Erman. Don't look it up. What does he do with the Pels? What is his specialty?
Oh, yeah, he's a media, guy.
No, he's not. No. He's an assistant coach.
Oh, yeah, him.
The defensive guy. The defensive guru.
Yeah, I know that.
Defense.
That dude.
Yes. Yeah. No, not that dude. He plays defense. He coaches the defense.
No, I knew that.
He's in charge of defense.
No, seriously.
Yes.
I was just trying to.
So the whole point is, obviously, that's the big knock that you're getting a lot right now, nationally, with Payton. Guy can't play defense. But again, we said it. 5 coaches, 4 years. You try learning a system. I mean, who can do that, obviously, when you think about it? So it's telling already that, look, he's sitting there, and he's that's area of the game. I mean, he was a college defensive player of the year. I know it's college and pros, but it's not like the guy can't play defense. I don't know. I was surprised in a good way to hear how Coach Gentry talked about him. And he said, look, the fact that he wanted to come back and play at home, remember he played over UL Lafayette?
Well, I, you know, that was a non-factor to him, and that's what I like best about it. He said, doesn't matter to me. I'm going to go to the place where I think I best fit in. So I think he's going to be really good, though.
Coach Gentry thinks Payton's going to fit in this offense. I don't know. Let's see where it goes. I'm interested to see if it takes place or not. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the other top stories to kind of recap what happened earlier today when someone posted something about LeSean McCoy. He has responded. We'll touch on that, plus the NFLPA filing a lawsuit against the league. We'll recap some of the top stories in and around. And Jordan, what are you pointing at? What was Kobe?
I'm pointing at three things.
What?
All right, so it was actually Kobe had 26 points and LeBron had 24.
For the game? No.
Yes,
no,
right here. Points.
No,
yep,
no.
You're wrong once
Next.
Again. Next?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the NFL. NFL Nation predicts 2018 Rising Stars in all 8 divisions.
Okay, we'll do that next. It's Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Because we're the Houston Oilers.
Oh, that's
Houston
a good one.
Oilers. Yep. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston
What are you talking
Oilers.
About? You don't know. Yeah, this is Houston well before your time. Super excited. Tomorrow we'll be on the road. Come meet Jordan. Watch him eat a burger without bacon and be completely un-American. We'll be at the Ground Patty in home of 101 Bayou Gardens Boulevard. And then on Thursday, we'll be back here in Metairie, just not in studio. We'll be at the Harbor Bar and Grill in Metairie, 3024 17th Street. And what are you doing? What? Why are you reaching on my laptop right now and copying and pasting a link? Do you not think I know how to send it to you?
Obviously not.
No, yeah. Or you don't know how to use it. The Harbor Bar and Grill, creating a little event for us. And on the picture, wow, I have no idea what kind of burger that is.
You're welcome.
But it's large. What is that, double patties? Right? Double patty there? Looks like a buffalo chicken breast. On top of a burger with melted cheese. Is that an egg in between another pet? What is that called? The gargantuan?
Gargantuan.
The gargantuan. Yeah. It's just in. We may need to do some cardio here today before tomorrow. The Ground Patty it over in Houma and the Harbor Bar and Grill. 12 to 3 both days. So come on by and have a little fun with us. Come have some lunch. Hang out. And make fun of Jordan, because he will get burgers on both days without bacon. Do you not, it's not like bacon overall? Or do you
I'm
not like
get
it on
the
a,
bacon on the side?
No,
I'm
but what I'm saying,
it.
No, I'm saying it's like when you eat like a pizza, like the meats and stuff, do you ask no bacon? Why did you just gag? Tell me you do not eat pizza.
I don't eat those meat lovers. Those are disgusting.
Again, something's wrong with you.
Those are disgusting. Ham?
Please don't eat. Stop it. What are you, just the cheese?
Cheese. I like the cheese and pepperoni. Classic. Nothing else. That's a pizza right there.
No
true
veggies
American.
Either, huh? No veggies?
I like the, what's it called? The spinach and,
Spinach.
No, what is it called? Where it's like a, there's no meat on it at all. And it's all vegetable.
Again.
And it's a pizza.
The vegetarian?
No, it's not the vegetarian. There's a certain name for the pizza.
Yeah, I got a name for you, all right, but I can't really say it on the air.
Say it. Bet.
It's ridiculous. Don't eat a meat lovers. What is wrong with you?
Meat lovers is disgusting.
I just
vegan
honestly,
pizza.
Yeah, vegan, is that what it is?
I'm not a vegan. Far from it.
You just said you won't eat meat.
I said I eat the pepperonis. Is that not meat?
That's the only meat you'll have on a pizza, pepperoni.
I'll have a little bit of the sausage now. But I'm not going to have the meat lover the whole enchilada, you know what I'm saying?
No, I
don't. Notice how we get into more and more meat as he speaks?
Exactly.
Pretty soon he's going to be, man, I love the Spam and pineapple on the top.
You would do a Spam.
I've gotten pineapple on my pizza once.
A Hawaiian?
That is disgusting.
You don't like pineapple either. What? Your taste are.
God, where he's from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where are you going to college?
Tell me next. You like what do you like, plain crawfish?
You probably make plain crawfish.
Yeah, you're right. I make plain crawfish.
You probably don't even wash your crawfish before cooking them. Or
do you even,
boiling
have you,
them.
Have you ever done a boil? You, yourself,
yeah,
personally?
Yeah, I've done a
you know
boil.
How to do one? Because I have zero faith in your crawfish boil.
Come over.
Yeah.
You've been saying you wanted to come over for the
month. I'm just saying I have zero faith in you being able to do that. I think you can order some good crawfish and you can attend a good crawfish boil. I have zero faith in you. Putting on a crawfish boil.
Okay, that's all the time we have for the show today.
Yeah,
we're
see?
Gonna,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
He likes crawfish, but not the meat.
So you don't put like sausage in there? What do you put in your crawfish boil?
Oh, I put like everything.
Everything.
In there. I can't tell you because there's some secrets in there. You know,
no, it's no secret.
There's some secrets. Yeah. It's a family secret.
Mm-hmm.
Water.
Yeah, probably pineapple juice.
Nope, not pineapple juice.
I said, where was it? I think Brian Brian and Ola East, I think, went on a Twitter rant. Somebody did pineapples or put pineapple and pineapple juice in a crawfish boil. And I think he lost his mind on Twitter. Seriously, like it was a 20-tweet Twitter rant. I want to say it was Brian Ola. I think I saw that. Cause
who else would it be?
I'm just saying. I've seen a lot of things put in. Pineapple is...
What's the weirdest thing you saw put in a crawfish boil? Do you put oranges in your crawfish boil?
Yeah, you put some citrus. Yes, yeah, put some citrus in there. I don't know if it's pineapple. What was the weirdest thing I saw? Oh! At a crawfish boil that we were like a celebrity judge or whatever.
You were a celebrity?
Yeah, chicken. Like chicken breasts and stuff.
Chicken.
That sounds that crazy, but no, I mean, it's a little weird.
No, it's just no.
It's a little weird, but
yeah, no.
It's not like crazy.
That's crazy to me. Why would you put like chicken breasts?
You know what I've always wanted to try with a crawfish boil? Mm. I want to try a lobster boil where it's the same exact ingredients, but you just put the lobster in there and see if it tastes the exact same. That'd be
well, apparently Mr. Moneybags over here is to my right. Do you realize how many lobsters you would sort of need to make it a sort of a boil like that?
Not many, probably six. If you like, just have six people over, just put six
just
lobsters.
Just lobster a piece.
You know
huh?
how big a lobster is, Gus? Nah, they're not as small as a crawfish.
I want pounds.
All right, lobster's probably like, what, half a pound?
Keep going, bud. That ain't going to fill you.
And crawfish doesn't fill me either.
Well, you probably eat like two. Like, look, two pounds, please. No seasoning. I don't want my fingers to tingle. No meat on your pizza. What's wrong with you? Are you going to eat a burger the next 2 days? Or are you going to, like, you know, get a salad or something? Because that's where I'm kind of going with this.
You're telling me that I'm going to get a salad. You're Mr. Healthy over here going
dude,
to Old Saint.
Oh, one of the things I love about Grand Patty, you got to have the melted shredded cheese for me.
Wait, all right. Are you an American cheese or are you a cheddar cheese?
I like cheddar.
Okay, cool.
Now, if I had to choose and it's available, a little jalapeno.
Ew.
Jalapeno jack? Yeah.
Ew.
Come on, no Italians.
Why am I disgusting?
You're just disgusting right now.
Really?
You don't
like spicy cheese?
I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Just stop talking.
That's what I meant. Pepper jack.
Ugh.
That's
it. Pepper jack. Disgusting.
You like the little singles, don't you? The little cheese all wrapped in its little...
Ew.
Exactly.
That's,
is that what you go with?
That's just disgusting.
Something's wrong with you. Honestly. Please don't embarrass me the next 2 days. We're out on location. Tomorrow, 101 Bayou Gardens Boulevard, Ground Patty over in Houma. And then we'll be eating more burgers at the Harbor Bar and Grill the next day. I'm sure there's other things. Again, if you just go, we're going to share it here in a quick second, the event page that the Harbor Bar and Grill made for us. I mean, that picture of a burger is, can you copy and paste at least that picture and tweet it?
I'll find a way to get it. I'll find a way to get it.
That's a monster burger. I'm calling it the gargantuan.
We're going to have a hamburger eating contest, right?
Dude, that might take an hour to eat. That thing is huge.
It takes me usually 20 minutes to eat.
That is a huge burger. Looking forward to both places tomorrow, though. Come on by in Houma and then in Metairie. Still got another hour of the Sports Hangover to go over all our little things that we've been touching on so far. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Where was thunder?